Brian Had a Dream. 10,000 movies, 40 years. This is his journey, and this is your invitation to join along. This is the quest for 10,000.
Hi, everybody. I'm Ben.
And I'm Brian.
And welcome once again to the quest for 10,000. Thank you so much for downloading, listening, and hopefully sharing this episode with a friend. We are so happy you joined us on this part of Brian's quest to watch 10,000 movies before he turns 40. In this episode, we are not doing romantic comedies like we said we would. Instead, we're going to go see Doctor Strange. That's right. The next Marvel movie is also the next movie Brian will be adding to his list of movies that he's seen. Where will it rank? Will it be as good as the last Marvel movie, Civil War, or will it be more along the lines of an Ant-Man or an Iron Man 2?
Oh, God forbid, an Iron Man 3.
That's true. So in this episode, we'll be foregoing any of our normal sort of things, including checking in with Brian on where he is on his quest. We'll get back to all that in our next episode. But we're just going to dive in because we got to go see this movie pretty soon. First and foremost, maybe what we can start with is, how familiar are you with Doctor Strange?
Well, not very. When I was during my comic book phase, which was 13 to maybe 17 or so, when I
mine's really, still going on.
Well, I mean, when I was reading regularly and really, you know, into the comic book thing. I mean, I'm still tangentially in it, but I keep up with it a little bit. But I read mostly DC comics, some Image comics. I did not read a lot of Marvel comics. For whatever reason, it was something that was either right before me or right after me, as far as the people I was. I just never really read. I didn't read a lot of X-Men, didn't read a lot of Spider-Man, didn't read a lot, just wasn't a universe that I was captivated by. So I certainly didn't read what feels like a third or fourth string character like Doctor Strange. I certainly did, although I know I have friends that think he's one of the better characters in the canon, but I just never really got to that character.
So that strikes me that your excitement level for this film is maybe a little bit more muted than for some of the other Marvel films that will be coming up in the next year or so.
Well, you know, having said that, you know, I never read Guardians of the Galaxy, but I was certainly super excited to watch Guardians, even though I wasn't really familiar with those characters, because the excitement and the hype and it just built. I just don't feel like this movie has quite the sort of cultural reach already that a movie, even Ant-Man, I think I was a little bit more excited for than this.
Well, I share your feeling a little bit. My excitement level is not very high for this film, but it's not because I don't think it's not going to be good. It's a Marvel movie, and all of them have been pretty solid as far as movies go. Iron Man 2 and possibly 3, notwithstanding. Sorry if those are your favorite movies.
Well, you're wrong.
I mean, Brian's got a ranking and everything that tells you you're wrong.
You need to see more movies.
Right. So my excitement level, it's kind of muted because of that. Because I feel like I know that I'm going to be entertained for a couple hours, and that's going to be great. At the same time, though, while excitement might not be the word for me, there are several things about this film that I'm just curious about. And a little fascinated with. So maybe in the past we've done predictions for movies, which for the most part have turned out horribly incorrect.
We're not prognosticators.
So instead of maybe throwing out several predictions, maybe we'll do a prediction right before we cut out and go to the film. But maybe we could just share the things that we're fascinated with. Okay. I think there's probably a couple of things each of us are fascinated with. And I'll let you start and tell us about your curiosity, your fascination, given the director of Doctor Strange.
Yeah, I was looking, you know, it occurred to me that I was unfamiliar with who was directing the movie, had not heard anything about the director. So I looked to see who it was, and it's Scott Dedrickson, And it appears Derrickson, Scott Derrickson, I'm sorry, I mispronounced his name. And I'd never heard of him before. And I looked at the films he's directed, and The Exorcism of Emily Rose, which was a decent enough movie. Then we have a movie that is a little bit alarming for what it might pretend for this movie, and that's the 2008 remake of The Day the Earth Stood Still. if it's close to that, not good. Not good, buddy. Let's hope it's closer to Emily Rose than Keanu Reeves. And then also, and most recently, in the last couple years, he's done Sinister, which is a fairly, you know, it was a decent enough horror film. But it seems like he's kind of got a background in what he's produced and written and worked in horror, and which is a little surprising for a Marvel film, because the Marvel films are not horror archetypes. That's just not the kind of, you know, more popcorn fare. So I'm just not sure how that's going to translate.
Yeah, well, and that maybe connects a little bit with the thing I'm probably most curious about, is how does Doctor Strange as a character, as a story, how does this movie fit with the cinematic universe that Marvel's been so good about building? Particularly in the sense that, from what we've seen from trailers, the mystical element of Doctor Strange that's just the premise of the character in the comic books, that is going to be front and center with this film. And that's an element of the superhero mythos, I guess you could say, that Marvel's tended to shy away from until this movie. And so I'm really fascinated with how they're going to make that connect with the cinematic universe. And it makes me wonder, too, if, even though there's been, you know, people in charge of the Marvel movies said, well, the TV universe and the cinematic universe are separate and different. It makes me wonder, too, if maybe Doctor Strange might be kind of another bridge between those two. Because the only other place we've really seen a lot of mysticism has been in the TV universe, whether it's Daredevil, Netflix, the Iron Fist series will be coming up, and as you pointed out before, you know, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. this season with Ghost Rider. So I'm just really curious of how they're going to kind of do that, and if they're going to end up retconning anything that has already been established before now. So it's just kind of interesting to me. How is Doctor Strange going to fit with all these kind of other characters?
Well, let me tell you,
I'm fascinated by it.
I watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and they have spent this is their fourth season, and they've spent three seasons building up to a story about their version of mutants, okay, the Inhumans. And then, you know, it's clear that they intend for them to be parallel to what the X-Men could be. Now, I know Inhumans are technically different because it's an alien-infused mutation as opposed to an – but, yeah, they're intending for it to be, you know, you to make the connection. This is mutants, okay? So they've been doing this for 3 years. Now, all of a sudden, they're still doing that, but they've dropped this character in who, on first glance, everybody thinks he's an Inhuman, he's a mutant, and then he's like, nope, I made a pact with the devil. And it's real abrupt. I mean, it's real, like, there's no, like, background, there's no, like, explanation how he fits into this. And it just feels like a weird element to all of a sudden just drop in there. Now you got this whole, because there's all sorts of just storytelling questions, theological questions, all sorts of things.
You're dubious about perhaps how that connection is going to be made.
It's going to be difficult. It's really
right.
You know, and it would be different if you had made the connection subtly over a period of film, but it doesn't feel like they did. Now, I do understand that they want to say that the quantum realm that we explored somewhat in Ant-Man is going to be an area that Doctor Strange sort of inhabits.
Right.
And lives in and plays around with, and maybe that may be that the way in which they bring back the Wasp in the future Ant-Man movies, because she's trapped in the quantum realm. So maybe Doctor Strange is just somehow responsible for bringing her back, and I understand how that can work, but it just doesn't feel like we've been the groundwork has been laid for any mystical.
Right. Yes. That's why I'm fascinated to see just how, again, it connects. I think there's potential, like you said, Bridges, Ant-Man, Guardians of the Galaxy. There's probably another Infinity Stone running around in this film with all the magic artifacts Strange uses. I think the Eye of Agamotto is one of his main things, and that's been heavily rumored to be another Infinity Stone. Again, he has a connection in the comic books to the Defenders, all those Netflix characters, and a team that didn't even have any of those Netflix characters, been connected to Spider-Man and the Hulk. So there's potential there. But like you, I'm fascinated because I do think the degree of difficulty will be high there. Another potential thing that may be difficult for this movie perhaps centers around its star, Benedict Cumberbatch. I think that's another place where we're really both curious about this film and about his performance and portrayal. Say a little bit more about that.
Well, I do like Benedict. I'm a big Sherlock fan, okay? And I've seen Benedict in several other things. He was in August of Sage County. And he was in The Imitation Game, did a fine job as Alan Turing. And he was in the one where he was Julian Assange from WikiLeaks. And that one, you know, we all saw that commercial a million times because the world deserves to know, you know, and a little bit of overacting. But I wonder if we have reached peak Benedict. I'm sure he'll have a long career, but I don't know that he has the charisma and the range to pull off anything. You know, we were talking before we went on the air how Iron Man was the perfect combination of character and actor. You know, it was just melded in a way where it just everything clicked and you completely bought that this is Iron Man. And I think Benedict found that with Sherlock, okay? Everybody, that character, the way it's written in that TV series, it just feels so right and so just like a perfect combination. You don't catch that very often, okay? And when you do, it's not like you have many people that they catch that and they move on and they find it somewhere else as well. That's very, very rare. And so I wonder if he has reached the peak of his career.
Well, yeah, and again, it's fascinating to think about that. What I hear you saying in that is, again, there's a little bit of a dubious, can he really carry this? You know, is he at just the top of where he's going to be?
Is he action hero material?
Right, and I kind of think, again, it's what makes this really interesting, because other than Robert Downey Jr. and Paul Rudd, the people that Marvel has cast top billing in the movies we've seen so far, most of them have not been super established. And I would even argue that none of them had the global appeal coming in to the movie that Benedict Cumberbatch does. Now his global appeal is from primarily, I agree, Sherlock, perfect fit of a character, that sort of thing. But I think he's more widely known worldwide, definitely than Paul Rudd.
One I would argue separately is Scarlett Johansson was a household name prior to...
Right, but she was not the top build. That's what I'm saying. She was in a sequel. What I'm talking about is actors to sort of launch potentially a new portion of the universe, right?
Sure.
And so that's just kind of fascinating to me, and maybe in some ways I have the same questions. Can he really do that? Being more familiar with the character, I would say there are elements of Sherlock, smartest guy in the room, everybody's kind of beneath me, that really apply to the Doctor Strange character before he becomes this, you know, student of the mystic arts. And so it'll be real interesting to see how that changes.
Don't we already have smartest guy in the room, everybody's beneath me? Isn't that Tony Stark?
Sure it is.
Like, do we need that character times two?
Right. Well, and that's the thing, is that's who Strange is before, but then he has a much more radical shift in personality than Tony ever does. At least in the source comic book material. So again, it'll be real interesting to see if, Yeah, how Benedict Cumberbatch is able to do that? Is it a role that fits as easily?
I'm getting the feeling, based on what I've seen from previews and what just the vibe that you're giving off now, because the complexity of this tale and this transformation of this character, I wonder if this is not a character that would have been better suited to have been on the Netflix track, to have sort of developed and moved, because it's an expansive world. I mean, it's a big concept and a huge world to play in, and to try to squeeze that in to an hour and 40 to 2 hours to where we're all up to speed by the end seems like a really big task.
Yeah, that's a real interesting question. It also strikes me maybe if it wouldn't have been better served to have him in another movie, sort of like they're doing with Spider-Man or Black Panther, have him appear, and then this to be kind of more of his back, so you could spend more time on exposition of his backstory and that sort of thing. That's a real interesting question. Maybe that's something we can circle back around to, and that's what we can end this time before the movie on, and what we can pick up after we see the movie is, would this have worked better as a Netflix series? No matter how good the movie is, could it have worked better in that way? So, friends, we're going to go get our popcorn and find our seats. While we do that, feel free to drop us a line on Twitter at 10K, T-E-N-K, movies, or on Brian's blog, 10kmovies.com. We'll be back with you in a minute to tell us our thoughts on Doctor Strange. All right, we are back from seeing Doctor Strange. So Brian, first impressions.
Very good. It's not the blow away maybe that Guardians was, but it is in the discussion.
I agree. From here on out, just a reminder, everyone, there will be heavy spoilers probably in the discussion that follows. I agree. I think it's one of those films. Sometimes you go into a film not expecting much, and that helps you because it really exceeds those expectations. The other thing, it feels like sometimes you come out of a movie kind of knowing that you probably missed some stuff you might see on a second viewing, and that's how I felt coming out of this movie. Lots of cool little things that I think would bear a second or even third viewing to kind of catch everything.
Well, I thought, you know, it was to me one of the, from start to finish, one of the funnier Marvel movies, and we compared it before we went in to the special effects, to some kind of Inception-like, and it was very similar, but this used those effects in a fun way, whereas Inception was never fun. I mean, it was never like, you know, they weren't having fun with it. It was much more serious and dry. This was, you know, the effects in this were very fun.
Yeah, so we ended our previous segment by kind of asking a bunch of questions, things we were curious about, fascinated about. Number one of those was, would this have worked better as a Netflix series than as a movie?
Could have, but it worked fine.
Yeah, I was really impressed. Your question about, you know, the development and the conflict and the change of Strange from a very arrogant person to a more humble and self-sacrificing one, the pacing on that, I thought, was really well done.
Yeah.
Could have been even better had it been in a longer form, but didn't feel very rushed, felt kind of balanced. And you even got at the end, particularly in the post-credits scene, which we'll get to in a minute, that there's even still a little bit of arrogance within Stephen Strange. Yeah. Would you say that your question about Cumberbatch and about the director, were those answered to your liking?
Well, I don't, you know, the director, he certainly did a good job here, and Cumberbatch, I stand corrected.
Yeah, he was really good, and
excellent.
Character that fit him, yeah, as well, would you say, as Iron Man fits Robert Downey Jr.
Really good.
Since we
as
used
well
that.
as the levitation cape can fit someone.
That's right. It was, yeah.
I mean, it was excellent. And I would give him credit, too, for really making the cape into a sidekick. I mean, making it, you know, bringing it to life and really giving it some, you know, just a few scenes, you made us care. I don't know. It was really good.
I think, too, this movie had really some of the strongest supporting cast performances that we've seen in one of these kind of first, you know, pre a sequel type of movies. Tilda Swinton was great as the ancient one.
You really, I mean, you understand why that her character had to come to an end now. I mean, you get it, because it helped propel him forward. But you really wish you could have more with that character.
Yeah, and, you know, Mads Mikkelsen, a little bit still, Marvel still has a little bit of a villain problem, but Chi Edafor, his character Mordo, and the arc he went on, and then the final post-credit scene, I think we're about to get our second best Marvel villain after Loki, whenever the character of Mordo pops back
up.
Yeah,
well, what makes a great villain is... In a more realistic setting, is a villain who believes what they're doing is right. Who you could very easily see a movie where if you framed it the right way, you could justify their actions as being on the side of right. And I think he's going to claim that mantle. And it's very hard to have a believable villain that just does evil for evil's sake.
Yeah, now the villain is the hero of his own story, as they say. My main question, how does this movie fit? It fits very, very well. I was wondering how they were going to fit magic when that's been a thing that seems to have been not heavily talked about much in the Marvel Universe when you're dealing with powers and super beings. I think they did it in two ways, really. They talked about it more as in terms of dimensions. Different dimensions, different perspectives, space and time. We've seen those in some movies like the Thor movies in particular, Guardians of the Galaxy, Ant-Man, as you said, prior to us seeing the film. And then, of course, they had touches then, like the Infinity Stone being called out by name by Wong at the very end of the movie. And in some other ways, it really did tonally connect in that way. And then the other thing it did is really, to me, the main conflict that Strange is dealing with, at least early on in the movie, is kind of that same question. How you're telling me now that mysticism and magic exists and has power and influence, which is kind of the question I think I was asking. And so by making it part of the plot, they kind of took it head on and gave a very natural, organic answer of, yeah, you thought you knew everything. You really didn't learn. And I thought that was, whether intentional or not, was a really good way to answer that question some people may have had.
And I liked the you said organic, and I'm going to use the word again. I like the organic way they introduced the concept of a multiverse or expanded on it.
Right.
It had been hinted at in the past, but it really became front and center. And we didn't go a lot into these other, you know, potential dimensions or worlds. But the fact that we know about them and we've seen them, that can be huge later on. And if they ever run into any kind of, in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, if they have any story dead ends, the multiverse has, and it has historically always been, a nice little rabbit to pull out of your hat to go off into another world. And if,
I saw what you did there with the magic reference.
Yeah, yeah. And like, but this could help them if and when a particular actor wants to retire from a role. The multiverse could very easily help you seamlessly. Now, you can't overuse it, but you can use it to get, you know, another person into the role and not have it be some big, like, what just happened? You know, it can be a way to explain that.
Right, right. Now, let's pick just a few nits. Anything about the movie you think could have been done a little bit better?
I would have liked to have seen a little bit more to Doctor Strange's and Christine's relationship. It wasn't really... The beginning of it did not give us enough of their history, I felt like. I mean, it was hinted at, but I would have liked to have seen a little bit more of that, and I would have liked to have seen more of a resolution or more of an idea that he intends to have her a part of his life going forward. It almost felt like he may have been saying, you could read it that he was saying goodbye, like, forever, I've got to go, we're not going to be apart. And I don't think that's the case. I would have liked to have just seen something, you know.
Right. The only thing I can really, really pick apart, other than, again, the villain not being maybe quite as strong as you would have liked, but the weird new opening for Marvel Films at the beginning.
Way too long.
That was, pardon the pun, strange. Yeah. And not very
that
great.
It was too long. It kind of drug on for a little while, and it's like, it was self-serving too.
Yeah.
What was good about the original was that it focused on the comics, and this focused on the movies that we've seen. And
Did you feel like this movie makes you want to know more about Doctor Strange?
Yes.
And read some comics?
Yes. It certainly wants me. It makes me feel like I can't wait for Doctor Strange to be in these other universes and interact with these other characters. The post-credit scene or mid-credit scene hinted that he's going to be in Thor the Dark World or Thor Ragnarok, which I did not know that he was going to be a part of that movie at all, so I'm a little surprised. I'm surprised that hasn't leaked out, or I didn't know about that ahead of time. That's exciting. I think Strange and Stark will be a great, like, 1-2 punch. It does make me excited about it. In a lot of ways, it tried to do what Ant-Man did. It tried to be a little bit of levity and all, but Ant-Man didn't quite pull it off as well as this did.
Yeah. Shout out real quick. The special effects in all these Marvel movies, usually really good.
This was excellent.
You know, may finally win an Oscar. Definitely will be nominated. Really good. Another shout out too, just like in Guardians, where the 70s origin of those characters really shone through in the music. Again, the use of music, particularly at the beginning of the movie, probably a nod to some of Doctor Strange's weirdest things happening in the late 60s, 70s.
Well, and I also, you know, in the beginning, when he's shown himself to be a bit of an obscure music buff or whatever, I could see, in the right hands with the right script, really playing that up in future movies.
Yeah, so just lots of little things that made this movie very enjoyable, very fun, and again, probably bears repeating, this is not an A-list Marvel character that Marvel, again, has pretty much, according to we think, knocked it out of the park.
I think so.
And DC, with headline characters, still slogs on. So the margin just seems to be getting wider and not any closer, despite how excited I may be about Wonder Woman. So I think our questions were answered very satisfactorily. I think when a sequel comes out, we'll probably be way more excited about it than we were going into this one. Any other takeaways you want to share, Brian?
No, I was very impressed and very pleased with the film.
So there you have it. Thank you so much, everybody, for listening to this episode. Tell us what you think of Doctor Strange and where the Marvel Universe, Cinematic Universe, may be going next by catching us on Twitter at 10KTNK Movies or on Brian's blog, 10kmovies.com. Until then, we hope your week is a 10.
10 plus.
Borderline 11.